This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Until 2002, the Carolina hurricanes were pretty much not on anybody's mind, but that year, national attention turned to the hockey team in Raleigh, where fans, really, really loud ones, showed up in droves to support the Canes in the Stanley Cup playoffs. In the finals that year, the Hurricanes faced off against league leaders, Detroit Red Wings. Game 3 played at the RBC Center, and although the Canes lost that night, a young Czech player tied the score in the second period with an exciting goal.
Wesley back, waits for his teammates to clear, onside with it. Marcin Czech scores! Josef Wasicek!
Josef Wasicek brought Canes fans to their feet with that play in 2002, and he would experience even greater glory as a member of the Hurricanes when they won the Stanley Cup in 2006. Josef Wasicek left North Carolina in 2007, spent his last days playing on the Continental Hockey League in Europe. On Wednesday, he and 26 other members of his team died in a plane crash in Russia. He was 30 years old. On today's show, we remember Josef Wasicek, who was lovingly known as Big Joe. We'll take a look back at his successful career with the Carolina Hurricanes. Joining me in the studio is Luke DeCock. He is sports columnist for the News and Observer in Raleigh. Welcome back to the show, Luke.
Thanks, Frank. It's good to be here again.
Good to have you with me. Also is writer Chris Vitiello, who published a commentary about Josef Wasicek in the Independent Weekly yesterday. Chris, welcome.
Good morning. Thanks.
Luke, Josef Wasicek, drafted by the Canes in 1998. He was just a teenager. Tell us about his early years.
You know, that training camp in 2000, he came in and no one really expected him to be around that long. He was this kid coming straight out of junior hockey. No one really knew that much about him. You know, the only thing anyone really knew was that he'd been the first European-born captain of a junior team in Canada, which doesn't really, I don't think that resonates necessarily the way it would up there. I mean, that's a pretty huge statement. In fact, at that time, no Stanley Cup winner had been captained by a European-born player. So he was very much had the personality and sort of gregariousness that won over just about everyone. And he came into camp and he absolutely won the Hurricanes over. One of the things that Paul Maurice, the coach now and also the coach at the time, said about him back then was, no one saved a spot for Joe Wasicek. You know, he came in here. Whatever he has, he earned. Hmm. And he became a very important part of the team that year. A key contributor as the third line center and really someone who came out of nowhere and became part of the organization's future for a long time to come.
Chris, he was a big guy, 200 pounds. He was, I guess that might have set him apart, a lot of big hockey players. What was he like on skates?
Well, he had, to my eye, it was a sort of a Czech skating style. You know, I mean, he had a big frame. He sort of skated with feet apart and was just hard to take off of a line. You know, when he chose a direction, you could bounce off him. You know, he sort of was a big capital letter A skating down the ice, and you know, a good. But he had good hands too. He was had the ability to distribute the puck and. You know, stayed a little high in the zone, but was a good skater and could skate a tight circle high in the zone.
Yeah, and I guess that's something you look for, and it's when you watch hockey, you're actually looking for that kind of athleticism and grace, and sometimes in bigger guys, you know, you don't always find that. Canes franchise had been around, Luke, for it was pretty new, right? 1998, and you started covering the team in 2000. Tell us how your relationship with him grew over those years.
Yeah, you know, he and I were both, as I wrote in the newspaper yesterday, and he and I were both sort of rookies that season. I'd covered hockey, the NHL to a certain degree, and college hockey, other places, but I came here to cover the Hurricanes, and that was my first sort of beat writer job in the NHL, and he was a rookie in the NHL, and all the routines and the rhythms of the sport and the season they were pretty new to both of us, and you know, there were a couple of players who came in that season. Nicky Wallin, the defenseman, is another one who you just sort of, because you're new and they're new, and all of us ended up kind of being around for a while. There's sort of an understanding you have with those guys that you maybe don't have with players who were there when you got there, or guys who aren't around as long. And it's not a job being a beat writer where you make a lot of friends, except sort of in unusual circumstances. But you do build these very deep relationships with people. It's like having coworkers that you spend an enormous amount of time with. And some you like, and some you don't like, and some you get along with, and some you don't. Joe was just one of the guys that everybody, not just me, everybody got along with Joe. I mean, he was just that kind of kid. He always smiling and just sort of happy-go-lucky, kind of walking around the locker room in a good mood. And so, you know, over the course of his career, pretty much everything that he did in the NHL, with the exception of basically a season and a half before he went to Russia, I was writing about it. So I saw him as a rookie. I saw him score some big goals in the 2002 playoffs. I saw him lead the team in scoring the year 2003-04 right before the lockout. And I saw him the year they won the Stanley Cup get his knee torn apart, watched him rehab for 5 months and fight to get back in time for the playoffs and have a huge game. April 4th, 2006, his first game back, he had a huge game. And just sort of knowing what he'd gone through and seeing him sitting on the bench, you knew what it meant to him. And there were a lot of people who knew Joe like that. I mean, he was just the kind of guy that people liked and gravitated toward. But for me, seeing him sort of come in his career start and transpire, it was pretty tough to hear about what happened on Wednesday.
Well, and he was pretty important to the team and its fans as they grew together to learn about a team that would go on and develop a strong bond between the team and the Caniacs. Chris, your commentary in the Indy, you highlight Game 3 of the 2002 Stanley Cup Finals as a career-changing moment for Wasicek. Let's hear what happened. Well, he scored. Let me tell you, he scored, and a lot of people cheered. It was a big moment. But take us back to that night. We're talking about 2002, Game 3.
Well, I think it was Game 5 where the Hurricanes and the New Jersey Devils were fighting out in the first round of the playoffs. And the Canes had won the first two games of the playoff series. They had home ice advantage. They were sort of flying high. They went up to New Jersey and lost a couple of games where they looked somewhat outclassed. I think the New Jersey goalie had really risen to the occasion, Martin Brodeur. The winningest goalie in the NHL. So the Canes came back. Maybe fan confidence had wavered a little bit, and they played a very tight, tense game against the Devils in Game 5. It went into overtime, and Wasicek just made a great shot over Brodeur's shoulder to win it in overtime. And it just really launched the Hurricanes that year. They ran to the finals, and it was a spectacular goal. Well,
and that series was all the more delicious because of the way they got their butts kicked in the series the year before.
Yeah.
Right, with New Jersey really kind of took them to the woodshed, except that they did show a little bit of life in what was it, Game 3 and 4, where they, after getting a real shellacking, and it was sort of in that series, they got wiped out. They lost. Came back, and it was pretty exciting for the fans. As you said, it was a big turnaround for the franchise as well, I guess.
Yeah, the Hurricanes were they just squeaked into the playoffs at the end of the 2000-2001 season and matched up against the Devils, the defending champions that year. And the Devils pushed the Canes around for three games. In Game 3, Canes fans, you know, packed then it was the Entertainment and Sports Arena, I think. It hadn't been renamed. Packed the house. We were all very enthusiastic, and the Devils were brutal. Ron Francis, the captain, was knocked out in that game, and we just felt pretty defeated. You know, the Canes had really, you know, had really been at the mercy of the New Jersey Devils. But they, you know, they fought back. They extended the series to a sixth game, succumbed there. But in the final minutes, I guess about 5-6 minutes left, the fans just stood and cheered as loud as they possibly could, cheered through the breaks for advertisements and everything. You know, the puck was in play, not in play. It was just a long-standing ovation, and I think it really just showed the team, yeah, that the fans really appreciated the effort of this club.
Things had really turned around. Luke, Joseph said that he really felt that this place was a home to him. Tell us about his relationship to North Carolina.
It really was. I mean, he loved living here. He loved playing here. He, as much as anybody, saw the growth in the market. I mean, he was part of that. And he played junior hockey in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, which is not a huge town. And he came here and just kind of settled in. He had a townhouse over in Morrisville, right off of Prestonwood Country Club. And Yaroslav Svoboda, who got called up late in that 2002 season, another Czech player, and was a big part of the playoff run that year, lived with him when Yaro was with the Hurricanes. And when Joe they traded Joe after 2006, after the Stanley Cup year, to Nashville for Scott Walker, another player who had become a big part of the Hurricanes and also this community. And he was in Nashville for only maybe 5 or 6 months before the Hurricanes actually made a trade to get him back and bring him back from Nashville in midway through that 2006-2007 season. And I called him that night and got him on the phone. He was very excited about the trade. And he said, I'm really happy. I'm just excited to be coming home. And that was really the way he looked at it, that as long as he was in America and over here and playing away from the Czech Republic, this was sort of his home away from home, and it had become a legitimate home for him the 6 or 7 years that he lived here. And it was the joy and sort of excitement in his voice that night was palpable. And it didn't work out for the Hurricanes. They missed the playoffs that year. They made some changes in the offseason, and you know, Joe played 1 year for the New York Islanders, ends up in Russia, and the rest is history. But he always enjoyed his time here. They always had a good group of Czech players. Marek Milík was another one who was here for a while, who was kind of sort of the surrogate big brother for Wasicek and Svoboda. Joe always liked it here. He always liked the fans, and people really, liked him in return. I think that was really a two-way street.
We're going to miss him. Thanks very much, Luke, Chris, for being on the program today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Luke Dukak is a sports columnist for the News and Observer in Raleigh. For more information about the career of former Carolina Hurricane Joseph Wasicek, visit newsandobserver.com. Chris Vidiello is a writer based in Durham. His commentary about Joseph Wasicek can be found at indyweek.com. Just ahead on the state of things, how a weekend walk in the woods can turn up major historical discoveries. Find out on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay with us.